telling you to scratch out your title, Rasulullah, you wouldn't worry because Allah has promised you victory. And Allah shall give you victory until you're completely satisfied. Secondly, why did he agree that anyone who wants to leave the Islamic State of Medina and go and live with Kafirs in Dar al-Harb, let him go? You know why? If a man is living Dar al-Islam, land of peace and tranquility, where he sees taqwa, iman, Islam being implemented, and he doesn't want Islam, he wants to leave Islam and live in Dar al-Harb, do you need such a person? You don't need a person. This person is a hypocrite, a scum of the earth, and a riffraff. So why do you cry after him? Come back, don't leave Dar al-Islam. It is better than Dar al-Harb. So the Prophet didn't hesitate to sign that aspect of the treaty, because anyone who lives in the Islamic State and witness taqwa, iman, faith, Islam, and he didn't appreciate it, he wasn't grateful to Allah, he wants to leave and live in Dar al-Harb, let him go, he's finished, we don't need him. His heart is sealed. So the Rasul didn't hesitate, and the Rasul knows that none of his Sahabas would do that anyway. That's why he didn't hesitate to sign that aspect of the treaty. And why did he agree 10 years no war? 10 years no war. Because the Rasul had the Jews at Khaybar who was a bone in the throat of the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they were planning to attack Medina. Now, is it wise for you to have two wars on two war fronts? Why did Hitler lost the Second World War? Because he was fighting on too many fronts. And he lost when he attacked Russia. He didn't expect the winter was so harsh. So when you are fighting a war, you can't have too many enemies at the same time. Or is he an original kafir? Murtad. Saddam Hussein, murtad or original kafir? Murtad. Did the Rasul sign peace treaty at Hudaybiyah with murtadin, apostates, or original kafirs? Original kafirs. So it is halal to sign a peace treaty with an original kafir, but it is haram for you to sign a peace treaty with an apostate, a murtad. This is where the shaitan deceived them. And Ahmad ibn Hanbal said, most of your mistakes are made with qiyas, analogy. So you are trying to compare Hudaybiyah with today's politicians having treaty with them, and the situation is the opposite. The laws governing the murtad is different from the laws governing the original kafir. Then other hypocrites say, when Yasser Arafat signed the peace treaty with Israel, he did halal because the Prophet signed peace treaty at the Treaty of Hudaybiyah. In order for you, the Muslims, to have a treaty with the Kafirs, the following conditions have to be met. Number one, the treaty should be done by an emir, Muslim leader, emir, representing the Muslims. Is Yasser Arafat a Muslim? No, he's a Kafir. He's a worse Kafir than Clinton and Tony Blair put together. He's a police for the Jews. What is Yasser Arafat? A police for the Jews. So the first condition for you to have a treaty with Kafirs is missing, and that is a Muslim leader representing the affairs of the Muslim. Secondly, you are not allowed to have a treaty with a person who occupies your land. Anytime the Kafirs occupy Muslim land, jihad becomes fardul ayn. So much so that a woman doesn't need permission from her husband to make jihad. And a man who you owe money, you don't need his permission to make jihad. And all the Muslim prisoners have to be let out of prison to go to the battlefield, because jihad is fardul ayn even on the prisoner in prison. And the Jews have occupied Palestine, and jihad is fardul ayn until we kick them out, so you cannot have peace treaty with the occupying Kafirs. So the second condition is missing. Also, you are not allowed to have a treaty unless the treaty is for the benefits of the Muslims. So the treaty of Yasser Arafat with Israel, what did it say? There is absolutely no benefit for the Muslims in that treaty. Number four, the treaty cannot make haram halal or halal haram. And the treaty that Yasser Arafat signed with the Jews, they made jihad haram because they have abandoned jihad, and Yasser Arafat agreed to call jihad terrorism. And he has agreed to lock up anybody who believes in jihad. So the four conditions are as follows. The treaty should be done by a Muslim leader representing the affairs of the Muslims. Secondly, the treaty should not be at a time when the Kafirs have occupied Muslim lands because jihad bi Qadr al-Ayn. Third, the treaty cannot make haram halal or halal haram. Number four, the treaty should be for the benefit of the Muslims. And there's a fifth and last condition. Who can tell us what's that condition? It can't be permanent. Anytime you sign a permanent peace treaty with Kafirs, you have abrogated jihad. You have nullified jihad, and jihad is the sixth pillar of Islam. So when Yasser Arafat signed peace treaty with the Jews, permanently, he has abrogated jihad, and for you to abrogate jihad is like abrogating Salah, Zakah, Sawm, Hajj, the fast of Ramadan, because jihad is the sixth pillar. Could you get up and sit somewhere else, please? The sixth pillar of Islam. So you're not allowed to abrogate jihad. So the conditions are not met for this treaty that they are talking about. Let's continue with the tafsir. Iman and ma imanihim, in order to increase them in iman, on top of the iman they already had. So this is refuting the aqidah of the deviants who claim that our iman doesn't rise nor fall. In fact, if you claim our iman doesn't rise nor fall, you're a kafir because you have rejected faith in many ayahs in the Holy Quran. And this is me. It's better you send him as your ambassador. And the Prophet sent Uthman ibn Affan to negotiate on behalf of the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the rest of his companions. When Uthman was there, they held him up. And they said to Uthman, here is the Kaaba. Why don't you go and make tawaf? And the companions of the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam were saying among themselves, look at us, we are here. We are forbidden to enter Mecca and Uthman is there. They didn't have bow and arrows with them or swords. They only had knives to cut the throat of the 70 camels they were taking with them. They had 70 camels to slaughter as sacrifice on the pilgrimage. They only had small knives. But they were able to stretch their hands forward and give the oath of allegiance, the bay'ah to the Prophet, and said, by Allah, if Uthman is killed by the Kafirs of Mecca, we shall fight to the last drop of our blood to avenge the blood of Uthman. Did everybody stretch their hand forward? Did everyone stretch their hand forward? No. One man, who was a hypocrite, went and hid himself like this behind his camel. He was hiding from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He didn't have the iman to stretch his hand forward. And his name is Ja'ad ibn Qais. He was a munafiq, a hypocrite. So when the Rasul gathered the Sahabas on the tree to stretch their hand forward to give the oath of allegiance to fight to avenge the blood of Uthman, that was a sieve, that sieve to separate the sheep from the goats. So everybody was able to stretch his hand forward except one man. He went and he hid himself behind his camel. He did not want the Prophet to see him. But the Prophet saw him and the Prophet said, come, let me seek repentance for you. Come, let me seek make tawbah for you. The man was a hypocrite. So what did the man have to, what did he have to do? The Prophet gave him shahada a second time, because his first shahada was fake. How did the Prophet discover his shahada was fake? Because he did not have the taqwa to stretch his hand forward. He ran and hid himself behind his camel. He did not want the Prophet to see him. He did not have the taqwa to die to avenge the blood of Uthman, because he was a munafiq. So what did the Prophet do? He gave him shahada a second time at the Treaty of Al-Hudaybiyah. Then the news reached that Uthman wasn't slain. The Kafir sent Suhail ibn Amr to negotiate with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Suhail ibn Amr was very proud, haughty, ostentatious. And Ali was the one who was writing for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So as Muslims, we write Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, isn't it? On our documents. So Ali wrote Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Suhail ibn Amr, the mushrik, said, Who is this new God? Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim. These are two new gods. We don't know about these two new gods. We only know about Allah. So you have to scratch it out. And the Muslims didn't want to scratch it out, but the Prophet told Ali to scratch it out. And so Ali ibn Abi Talib had to scratch it out. And he had to write instead, Bismika Allahumma. Then Ali wrote Muhammad Rasulullah, Muhammad the Messenger of Allah. And Suhail ibn Amr said, we don't see you as the Rasulullah, the Messenger of Allah. Can't you see we are preventing you from entering Mecca? If we had considered you to be the Messenger of Allah, we wouldn't have oppressed you like this. So I'm sorry, you have to scratch it out. And Ali was very upset. Ali didn't want to scratch it out. Suhail ibn Amr said, scratch out Rasulullah, the Messenger of Allah, and write Muhammad ibn Abdullah. Alhamdulillah. So the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam insisted that Ali should write Muhammad ibn Abdullah instead of Muhammad Rasulullah, and Ali was hesitant. And when the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam saw that Ali was hesitant, the Prophet said, I will write it myself if you don't want to write it. Because of this, the Mu'tazilite said the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was able to read and write. Is that clear? The Mu'tazila is the redeeming group. What's their evidence? This incident at Hudaybiyah, when the Prophet said to Ali, if you don't write Muhammad ibn Abdullah, I'll write it myself. So, some Mu'tazila, not all of them, claim that the Prophet was unable to read and write before he became a Prophet. But after he became a Prophet, he was able to read and write. And the Aqidah of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah in regards to the Prophet, and as for whether or not he could read and write, is that he could write the basic things like his name and where he was born, like Mecca. But as for the difficult things, he was unable to read and write these things. Also, the Rasul turned to Ali and said, O Ali, one day you shall be in the same situation like me, in which you have to scratch out your title. And where did Ali scratch out his title? What incident? The battle of what? Siffin. Who was he fighting against? Muawiyah. So when Ali came face to face with Muawiyah, and Ali sent his ambassador, Abu Musa al-Ash'ari, and Muawiyah sent his ambassador, who was Amr ibn al-As, and he wrote, Ali, Amir al-Mu'mineen, they said, we don't see him as Amir al-Mu'mineen, the leader of the believers. If we had seen him as the leader of the believers, how comes we are fighting him today at Siffin? Scratch it out. And Ali had to scratch out his title. So the prophecy of the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he told Ali at the battle of at the treaty at Hudaybiyah, one day you will be in my situation, you have to scratch out your title. This prophecy of the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam came to pass at the battle of Siffin when he fought Muawiyah. Now let's take a look at this treaty. There's something else you need to learn about this treaty. I will tell you soon, inshallah. Remind me if I forget, because the hypocrites use this treaty of Hudaybiyah to say it is halal to have a treaty with Saddam Hussein or Hafid al-Assad. Is that clear? The hypocrites of today, the modernists, they said, can't you see the Prophet signed treaty with the Kafirs of Hudaybiyah? So if the Prophet signed treaty with the Kafirs of Hudaybiyah, we are allowed to sign treaties with the Kafirs today, Saddam Hussein, Hafid Assad. So if you don't know your aqeedah properly, you will believe what they're telling you. If you don't understand the Islamic aqeedah, you will swallow this bait which they are giving you. I will explain, inshallah ta'ala, the difference. The first point in the treaty, 10 years no war. And the Rasulullah ﷺ signed up to this. Secondly, could you switch off your mobile phones, please? If anybody leaving Mecca to join the Muslims at Medina, the Muslims should do what? Send him back. But if anyone leaves Medina to join the Kafirs at Mecca, the Kafirs should have the privilege of keeping him. Does this sound good? Huh? Should I repeat myself? Anyone in Mecca who said, I don't want to be a Kafir anymore, I want to be a Muslim, I'm now a Muslim, so I want to make hijrah, I want to apostate. And he apostate and want to go and live in Darul Harb, the Kafirs who live in Darul Harb should be allowed to keep him. Does that sound good? Huh? Because when they said this, Omar was fuming. Omar, this point in the treaty, when Omar heard this, he was upset. Maybe if you had stick him with a knife, not a drop of blood would come out of the veins of Omar, the way he was upset. So he went to Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu and said, isn't our religion Islam the truth? Abu Bakr said, yes. And isn't he Muhammad, the messenger of Allah? Abu Bakr said, yes. So why then should we obey kafirs in regards to our deen and give them the upper hand over us? Abu Bakr said, keep quiet, because I bear witness that he is a messenger of Allah. Omar said, I also testify that he is a messenger of Allah. The Muslims couldn't handle this point in the treaty. The third point in the treaty. Any tribe who wants to join the Muslims is allowed to enter into friendship and partnership with the Muslims. And alliance. The right word is alliance. And if any tribe wants to join Quraysh and become an alliance of Quraysh, they are free to do so. The fourth point in the treaty, which caused the Muslims to become very upset again. You, even though you leave your home from Medina going to Mecca to perform Umrah, you can't enter Mecca this year. You have to turn back and go back to Medina. Come to Mecca next year, but not this year. There was absolutely no need for the Kafirs to put this in the treaty. But why did they put it in the treaty? They said, we have to save face. If you enter Mecca this year, all the other tribes will say, oh, the Muslims, they were able to flex their muscles and get what they want out of Quraysh. Quraysh, they have become softies. Muhammad and his companions, they flex their muscles and they were an easy pushover. Quraysh is an easy pushover. Look. Muhammad and his companions, they flexed their muscles and they were able to enter Mecca. And Quraysh couldn't do anything about it. Quraysh said, I don't want the other people to think that we are softies and we are an easy pushover. And it is bad for our morale. It will look like we are weak. So because of this, you, the Muslims, you need to turn back. Go back to Medina. You can't enter the holy city of Mecca this year. You can enter next year, but not this year. This caused the Muslims to be fuming again. So what point in the treaty they were fuming about? Point number two. Any kafir who take shahada and decide to join the Islamic State of Medina should be sent back to live in Mecca Darul Harb. And if any Muslim who wants to apostate and live in Mecca in Darul Harb should be allowed to live in Darul Harb. Omar couldn't handle this point in the treaty. The other point that they couldn't handle, you need to turn back. Now, which one of you would like to get ready to go to Mecca for Hajj? And then a kafir, an MP says, I'm sorry, we're not going to let you leave Heathrow today. Go back home. No Hajj for you. Would you like that? You wouldn't like that. Some of you, maybe you'll kill him with your bare hands, isn't it? What is it? It's happening. It's happening. So when the Sahabas saw kafirs, idol worshippers, telling them, go back home, not this year. We don't want the other tribes to think that we are soft, we're an easy pushover. Go back home, no pilgrimage, no umrah for you this year. And the Rasul said what? Kill your animals at this spot at Hudaybiyah and shave your head at this spot at Hudaybiyah. Do the rites of pilgrimage at Hudaybiyah. When he said shave your heads, did they do it? No. They were too upset. They disobeyed the Prophet. They were fuming. A bunch of filthy kafirs preventing us from making umrah. They were fuming. They disobeyed the Rasul. So they refused to shave their heads. And the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam went inside his tent and he was very upset. His face was red. And his wife, Salama, said, why are you so upset? He said, can't you see my ummah is destroyed? They have disobeyed me. And she said, you first shave your head and then they will follow. And he accepted the advice of his wife, Salama, and shaved his head and they followed. And the Prophet said, Allahumma irham al-muhallaqin. O Allah, show your mercy on those who shave their heads. And somebody said, wal muqassirin, and those who clip their head, O Messenger of Allah. Because he didn't want to shave, he wanted to clip. And the Prophet said, Allahumma irham al-muhallaqin. O Allah, show your mercy on those who shave their heads. And the man screamed out, wal muhallaqin, and those who clip. For the second time. And then the Prophet made a dua a third time. Allahumma irham al-muhallaqin. O Allah, show your mercy on those who shave their heads. And the man screamed more than a third time, wal muhallaqin! And the Prophet said, wal muhallaqin! So he got what he wanted on the third time. So he clipped his hair, he didn't want to shave. So when you make umrah or hajj, what's better? To shave or to clip? To shave. But some of you, you want to look like sweet boys, you don't want to shave. And it's better to shave, especially those of you who have lice or dandruff. And it's closer to the sunnah. Do you know why the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam agreed to scratch out his title? First of all, the title of Allah, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. If you describe Allah as Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, or you refuse to describe Allah as Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, does that strip Allah of his title? He still has the power, isn't it? Has the beneficent and merciful. If the kafirs of Quraysh said to the Prophet, you are no messenger of Allah, they deny the fact that he is a messenger of Allah. Does that invalidate the fact that he is a messenger of Allah? It doesn't invalidate the fact. If you graduate from Howard or Harvard, these universities, or Oxford or Cambridge, as a doctor, a medical doctor, and then a jahil who can't even write properly, sign his name properly, said, you are no doctor. Would you let it bother you? You graduate with honors from Oxford or Cambridge as a doctor, or Howard or Harvard or Yale or MIT. These are the big names in universities. And a jahil, you graduate with honors, and a jahil said, you are no doctor. Would you let it bother you? If your university honors you, would it let it bother you? So, the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, was he honored by Allah or not? He was honored. Allah doesn't even call him by his name. Allah doesn't even call him by his name. There's a surah called Surah Muhammad, but you will never see in the Quran where Allah said, Ya Muhammad. Allah always referred to him, Ya Rasulullah. O Messenger of Allah. Ya Nabiullah, O Apostle of Allah. Allah doesn't call the Prophet by his name. But when Allah is talking to Adam, Allah said, Ya Adam, O Adam, Uskun anta wa zawjuka al-jannah, dwell thou and thy wife in the garden. Ya Nuh, ihbit bisalam, O Nuh, get down with salam, with peace. So Allah called the other prophets by their names, but not Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah always referred to him as Ya Rasulullah, by his title. So this is why the Rasul scratched out his title, without hesitating, because he, the Rasul, was wise. He wasn't petty. Why are you worrying about a title? He wasn't petty, paying attention to minute details. He, the Rasul, knows that he is a messenger of Allah, and on top of that, Allah said, وَلَا الْآخِرَةُ خَيْرٌ لَكَ مِنَ الْعُولَى وَلَا صَوْفَ يُؤْتِيكَ رَبُّكَ فَتَرْضَى. This is Surah Wadduha. The future shall be better for you than the past, and your Lord shall give unto you, O Muhammad, until you are completely satisfied. So if Allah is promising you victory until you are completely satisfied, would you worry about Quraysh telling you to scrap your title, Rasulullah? You wouldn't worry, because Allah has promised you victory. And Allah shall give you victory until you are completely satisfied. Secondly, why did he agree that anyone who wants to leave the Islamic state of Medina and go and live with Kafirs in Dar al-Harb, let him go? You know why? If a man is living Dar al-Islam, land of peace and tranquility, where he sees taqwa, iman, Islam being implemented, and he doesn't want Islam, he wants to leave Islam and live in Dar al-Harb, do you need such a person? You don't need a person. This person is a hypocrite, a scum of the earth, and a riffraff. So why do you cry after him? Come back, don't leave Dar al-Islam. It is better than Dar al-Harb. So the Prophet didn't hesitate to sign that aspect of the treaty, because anyone who lives in the Islamic State and witnessed taqwa, iman, faith, Islam, and he didn't appreciate it, he wasn't grateful to Allah, he wants to leave and live in Dar al-Harb, let him go. He's finished. We don't need him. His heart is sealed. So the Rasul didn't hesitate, and the Rasul knows that none of his Sahabas would do that anyway. That's why he didn't hesitate to sign that aspect of the treaty. And why did he agree 10 years no war? 10 years no war. Because the Rasul had the Jews at Khaybar who was a bone in the throat of the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they were planning to attack Medina. Now, is it wise for you to have two wars on two war fronts? Why did Hitler lose the Second World War? Because he was fighting on too many fronts. And he lost when he attacked Russia. He didn't expect the winter was so harsh. So when you are fighting a war, you can't have too many enemies at the same time. Why do you think I produce one tape, Shia, and after 4 years, Salafist? And maybe after 4 years, Burelis. At the moment, I have a ceasefire with Hizb ut-Tahrir. And people are pressuring me to break the ceasefire. You can't produce too many tapes and too many deviant groups at the same time, because at this particular moment, it's a war. What war is this called? Huh? Ideological war. That's it. Ideological war. It's a war. You cannot produce too many tapes and the deviants, the Brailwis, and which group we leave out? Hizb ut-Tahrir and Muhajirun. The Brailwis, the Kafirs, and the deviants, the Kafirs. Can a Brailwi apostate from Islam? Impossible. He doesn't have anything to apostate from. He doesn't have anything to apostate from. Let's go back to our tafsir. So the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam had the Kafirs of Mecca, who was a strong army to fight. Then he had the Jews at Khaybar, who was a bone in his throat. How can he have the war on two war fronts? Quraysh and Jews. It's not wise. And that's putting too much pressure on his Sahabas. They are obedient, but don't put too many pressure on them. It's like a person working for you, and because he's obedient, you give him too many tasks to do. That's giving the Sahabas too many tasks to take on Quraysh and then take on the Jews. So what the Prophet did, he signed a peace treaty with Quraysh, 10 years no war, and then he quickly shifted his army to the Jews at Khaybar and fought them and defeated them. This is the wisdom of the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now we said the hypocrites used the incident of Hudaybiyah to say that you're allowed to sign peace treaties with the leaders. And Fis in Algeria said you can sign peace treaties with the junta in Algeria. And what did they use as their qiyas, their hujjah, their evidence? The Treaty of Hudaybiyah. Now let's be serious. Gaddafi, is he a murtad or is he an original kafir? Murtad. Saddam Hussein, murtad or original kafir? Murtad. Did the Rasul sign peace treaty at Hudaybiyah with murtadin, apostates or original kafirs? Original kafirs. So it is halal to sign a peace treaty with an original kafir, but it is haram for you to sign a peace treaty with an apostate, a murtad. This is where the shaitan deceived them. And Ahmad ibn Hanbal said, most of your mistakes are made with qiyas, analogy. So you are trying to compare Hudaybiyah with today's politicians having treaty with them, and the situation is the opposite. The laws governing the murtad is different from the laws governing the original kafir. Then other hypocrites say, when Yasser Arafat signed the peace treaty with Israel, he did halal because the Prophet signed peace treaty at the Treaty of Hudaybiyah. In order for you, the Muslims, to have a treaty with the kafirs, the following conditions have to be met. Number one, the treaty should be done by an emir, Muslim leader, emir, representing the Muslims. Is Yasser Arafat a Muslim? No, he's a kafir. He's a worse kafir than Clinton and Tony Blair put together. He's a police for the Jews. What is Yasser Arafat? A police for the Jews. So the first condition for you to have a treaty with kafirs is missing, and that is a Muslim leader representing the affairs of the Muslim. Secondly, you are not allowed to have a treaty with a person who occupies your land. Anytime the kafirs occupy Muslim land, jihad becomes fardul ayn. So much so that a woman doesn't need permission from her husband to make jihad. And a man who you owe money, you don't need his permission to make jihad. And all the Muslim prisoners have to be let out of prison to go to the battlefield, because jihad is fardul ayn even on the prisoner in prison. And the Jews have occupied Palestine, and jihad is fardul ayn until we kick them out, so you cannot have peace treaty with the occupying kafirs. So the second condition is missing. Also, you are not allowed to have a treaty unless the treaty is for the benefits of the Muslims. So the treaty of Yasser Arafat with Israel, what it did say, there is absolutely no benefit for the Muslims in that treaty. Number four, the treaty cannot make haram halal or halal haram. And the treaty that Yasser Arafat signed with the Jews, they made jihad haram because they have abandoned jihad, and Yasser Arafat agreed to call jihad terrorism. And he has agreed to lock up anybody who believes in jihad. So the four conditions are as follows. The treaty should be done by a Muslim leader representing the affairs of the Muslims. Secondly, the treaty should not be at a time when the kafirs have occupied Muslim lands because jihad becomes al-ayn. Third, the treaty cannot make haram halal or halal haram. Number four, the treaty should be for the benefit of the Muslims. And there's a fifth and last condition. Who can tell us what's that condition? It can't be permanent. Anytime you sign a permanent peace treaty with kafirs, you have abrogated jihad. You have nullified jihad, and jihad is the sixth pillar of Islam. So when Yasser Arafat signed peace treaty with the Jews, permanently, he has abrogated jihad. And for you to abrogate jihad is like abrogating salah, zakah, sawm, hajj, the fast of Ramadan. Because jihad is the sixth pillar. Could you get up and sit somewhere else, please? The sixth pillar of Islam. So you're not allowed to abrogate jihad. So the conditions are not met for this treaty that they are talking about. Let's continue with the tafsir. Allah Ta'ala said, هُوَ الَّذِي أَنزَلَ السَّكِّنَةَ فِي قُلُوبِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. It is He, Allah, who has revealed, sent down tranquility in the hearts of the believers. لِيَزْدَادُوا إِيمَانًا مَا إِيمَانِهِمْ. In order to increase them in iman, on top of the iman they already had. So this is refuting the aqidah of the deviants who claim that our iman doesn't rise nor fall. In fact, if you claim our iman doesn't rise nor fall, you're a kafir because you have rejected faith in many ayahs in the Holy Quran. And this is the aqidah of some people in this country today. وَلِلَّهِ جُنُودُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَكَانَ اللَّهُ عَلِيمًا حَكِيمًا. And unto Allah belongs the armies in the heavens and the armies on earth, and Allah Ta'ala is the all-knowing, the all-wise. لِيُدْخِلُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتِ جَنَّاتٍ تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِ الْأَنْهَارِ. In order to enter the believers, men and women, into gardens underneath which rivers flow. خَلِدْنَ فِيهَا وَيُكَفِّرُ عَنْهُمْ سَيِّئَاتِهِمْ. They shall abide in paradise forever and ever, and Allah Ta'ala shall remove from them all their sins. وَكَانَ ذَلَكَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ فَوْزًا عَدِيمًا. And this was indeed a great victory in the sight of Allah Ta'ala. Now Allah Ta'ala said, إِنَّا فَتَحْنَا لَكَ فَتْحًا مُبِينًا. Verily we have given you the clear victory, O Muhammad, in order to forgive you of your mistakes, those that came before and those that came after. What are the mistakes of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? What are the mistakes of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? The scholars say the mistakes he made before he became a prophet. Do you accept that? Other scholars said the mistakes he made while he was a prophet. The correct opinion is the mistakes he made before he was a prophet and while he was a prophet. I won't go into the mistakes he made before he was a prophet. I don't know any. I only know of one, and he didn't get the chance to do it. The Kafirs were having a celebration and he was going to visit them to go there. What happened before he got there? He fell asleep. So he didn't get to do what he wanted to do. He fell asleep. He didn't get to go to the festival of the Kafirs. Allah protected him. I only know of mistakes he made while he was a prophet. What are these mistakes? Number one, the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he frowned when the blind man came unto him. Abasa wa tawalla and ja'ahu al-a'ma. He frowned and turned away because the blind man came unto him. Now this blind man, Abdullah ibn Makhthum, came to me and said, O Muhammad, teach me the things Allah has taught you. And he was busy giving dawah to the rich men of Quraysh, the leaders of Mecca, and he frowned and turned away because he was entertaining the idea, if these men should take their shahada, all the people of Mecca will follow them and take shahada. So he frowned and turned away from the blind man. But what happened? The blind man took his shahada, and these rich men who was giving dawah to, most of them died as kafirs. Now this blind man who took his shahada, the Rasul made him his muadhin, and when he come in the midst of the Rasul would get up and give him his seat and put him in his seat. He was special with the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam because Allah corrected the Rasul for the sake of this blind man. And this blind man, how did he die? He died on the battlefield. Even though he was blind, he died on the battlefield. He went for jihad. He was holding the flag of the Muslims at the Battle of Qadisiyah. When he heard that the Muslims were outnumbered 12-1, he went for jihad even though he was blind, just to make up the number for the Muslims. And he died holding the flag of the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam at the Battle of Al-Qadisiyah. And some of the Sahabas did not want him to carry the flag because he was blind. And he insisted until they allowed him to carry the flag. He said, am I not the one who Allah revealed this surah, the ayah, Abasa wa tawalla and ja'ahu al-a'ma? He frowned and turned away because the blind man came unto him. Said, you are frowned and turned away from me now. And they had to give him the flag. And he went to the battlefield and carried the flag for many hours until an arrow struck him and killed him. 16 ayahs for him. Abasa wa tawalla and ja'ahu al-a'ma. Huma yurika la'allahu yazzakka aw yadhakkara fatanfa'ahu adh-dhikra. Amma man istaghna fa anta lahu tasadda. Wa ma alayka alla yazzakka وَأَمَّا مَنْ جَاءَكَ يَسْعَى فَهُوَ يَخْشَى فَأَنْتَ عَنْهُ تَلَهَى. These are the ayahs. كَلَّا إِنَّهَا تَذْكِرَ فَمَنْ جَاءَ ذَكْرَ. These are the ayahs revealed for the blind man that the Rasul followed to know from. That's one mistake. The second mistake, he made up his mind not to drink honey anymore because he wanted to please his wives. And there's a story behind it. I don't have time to go into the story. His wives were mischievous, some of them. So he ate honey because he went to the house of one of his wives and it wasn't her night. It was Aisha's turn. And Hafsa told Aisha. And she said, your mouth smelled funny. And he said, I only drank honey. And she said, still your mouth smelled funny. And the reason why she said your mouth smelled funny is because he drank honey in the room of Maria, the Coptic from Egypt. Had he drank honey from her room, she wouldn't have said that. But because he went to the room of another woman and drank honey, said your mouth smelled funny. So in polygamy, women are always plotting and planning. And he said he won't drink honey again. And Allah revealed it in Surah 66 verse 1. Ya ayyuha an-nabi lima tuharrim ma ahalla Allah lak tabtaghi mardati azwajik. O Prophet, why make haram on yourself what Allah has made halal for you, seeking to please your wives? So if something is halal, you can't make it haram because then you're Muslims. And he died holding the flag of the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam at the battle of Al-Qadisiyah. And some of the Sahabas did not want him to carry the flag because he was blind. And he insisted until they allowed him to carry the flag. He said, am I not the one who Allah revealed this surah, the ayah, Abasa wa tawalla, and Ja'ahul Amah? He frowned and turned away because the blind man came unto him. Said, you are frowned and turned away from me now. And they had to give him the flag. And he went to the battlefield and carried the flag for many hours until an arrow struck him and killed him. 16 ayahs for him. Abasa wa tawalla and ja'ahu al-a'ma huma yurika la'allahu yazakka aw yadhakkara fatanfa'uhu adh-dhikra amma man istaghna fa anta lahu tasadda wa ma alayka alla yazakka wa amma man ja'aka yas'a fa huwa yakhsha fa anta anhu talaha. These are the ayahs. Kalla innaha tadhkira faman ja'a dhakara. These are the ayahs revealed for the blind man that the Rasul followed to know from. That's one mistake. The second mistake, he made up his mind not to drink honey anymore because he wanted to please his wives. And there's a story behind it. I don't have time to go into the story. His wives were mischievous, some of them. So he ate honey because he went to the house of one of his wives and it wasn't her night. It was Aisha's turn. And Hafsa told Aisha. And she said, your mouth smelled funny. And he said, I only drank honey. And she said, still your mouth smelled funny. And the reason why she said your mouth smelled funny is because he drank honey in the room of Maria, the Coptic from Egypt. Had he drank honey from her room, she wouldn't have said that. But because he went to the room of another woman and drank honey, said your mouth smelled funny. So in polygamy, women are always plotting and planning. And he said he won't drink honey again. And Allah revealed it in Surah 66 verse 1. Ya ayyuha an-nabi lima tuharrim ma ahalla Allah lak tabtaghi mardati azwajik. O Prophet, why make haram on yourself what Allah has made halal for you, seeking to please your wives? So if something is halal, you can't make it haram because then you'll be legislating. That was another mistake. The third mistake, he prayed over Abdullah ibn Ubay. And Allah corrected him in Tawbah 84. He prayed over a hypocrite. And Allah corrected him in Tawbah 84. وَلَا تَصَلِي عَلَىٰ أَحَدٍ مِّنْهُمْ مَاتَ أَبَدًا وَلَا تَكُمْ عَلَىٰ قَبْرِهِ إِنَّهُمْ كَفْرُوا بِاللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ وَمَاتُوا مُمْ فَاسِقُونَ. Don't pray over anyone who died as from today. Neither should you stand by their graves. They died rejecting faith in Allah and His Messenger. They died as fasiqun. Another mistake, he took captives at Badr. and it was a mistake, it would have been better to kill them, because one of the men who said, set me free, I have three daughters, I won't fight you again, he set the man free, and the man came back and fought the second battle, Uhud, and killed Muslims, and he got killed. And Omar told him not to pray over the hypocrite. Omar was correct. The Prophet was wrong. And Omar told him not to take captives at Badr, kill them. Omar was correct again. The Prophet was wrong. And the Prophet said, if there should be a Prophet after me, it would be Omar. So these are the mistakes of the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And there is something you need to know about the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet never make a mistake deliberately. Is that clear? At no point in time, the Prophet made a mistake deliberately. All the mistakes of the Rasulullah alayhi wasallam was unintentional. Every single mistake of the Prophet was unintentional, deliberately, intentionally. All the mistakes of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was unintentional. And it's not just the Prophet who was ma'soom. All the other prophets before him were also ma'soom, infallible. They don't make mistakes deliberately. Their mistakes are unintentional. Only the Shiites claim that their imams are infallible. And this is a deviant view, because only prophets are infallible. So Allah Ta'ala said, He has sent down Sakina, peace and tranquility in the hearts of the believers, in the sense that they were able to exercise patience with the Prophet, even though they saw their religion under attack, direct attack. And when Uthman went to Mecca, and they said to him, make tawaf around the Kaaba. Did the kafir say to Uthman, make tawaf around the Kaaba because they love Uthman? Do you think the kafirs love Uthman? So why did they give him the offer? Make tawaf around the Kaaba. To create fitna among the Muslims. Would you like to know that you were denied access to Mecca and one Muslim went there and made tawaf? How would you feel? Would you feel good about that? You were denied access to Mecca. But another Muslim brother went there and he gained access and he made tawaf. You wouldn't feel good. So when the kafir said to Uthman, go and make tawaf around the Kaaba, that was to divide the Muslims. It's called divide and rule. That's the oldest trick in the book. So you, the Muslim, you have to be sharp. You have to be intelligent. And you have to know when the kafirs are trying to divide you. You always have to be 10 steps ahead of the kafirs. But Uthman wasn't selfish and Uthman was sharp. Uthman said, it's not for me, Uthman, to make tawaf around the Kaaba before the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And before he said that, the Prophet said, by Allah, in whose hand is my life? If Uthman should spend 1 year in Mecca, he would never make tawaf around the Kaaba before me. So the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam knew the mentality of Uthman, because Uthman was trained by the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. لِيَدْخُلَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتِ جَنَّاتٍ تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْهَارُ خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا وَيُكَفِّرُ عَنْهُمْ سَيِّئَاتِهِمْ وَكَانَ ذَلِكَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ فَوْزًا عَظِيمًا وَيُعَذِّبُ الْمُنَافِقِينَ وَالْمُنَافِقَاتِ وَالْمُشْرِكِينَ وَالْمُشْرِكَاتِ الظَّانِّينَ بِاللَّهِ ظَنَّ السُّوءِ عَلَيْهِمْ دَائِرَةُ السُّوءِ وَغَضِبَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَعَنَهُمْ وَأَعَدَّ لَهُمْ جَهَنَّمَ وَسَاءَتْ مَصِيرًا. He has sent down Sakina, peace and tranquility in the hearts of the believers, and to give them paradise underneath which reverse flow. And Allah said, He shall destroy, shall punish the munafiqeen, the hypocrites, males and females, and the pagans, pagan males and pagan females. Dhanina billah, dhanasu. They, the hypocrites, were entertaining false ideas about Allah, erroneous ideas about Allah. Alayhim da'iratu su', they shall have a disgraceful torment. Wa ghadiba Allah alayhim, and Allah Ta'ala is angry with them. This ayah is telling you that Allah becomes angry, refuting the aqidah of the Mu'tazilites who said Allah doesn't become angry. Here you are told in Surah 48 verse 6, Allah becomes angry. Wa la'anahum, and Allah has cursed them. Wa addalahum jahannam, and Allah has prepared for them the hellfire. Wa sa'at masira, an evil abode indeed. So what was the false idea they were entertaining about Allah, the hypocrites in Medina? They said, look at Muhammad going, claiming he's going to perform Umrah. Not one of them shall come back alive. Muhammad and his companions, they are going to Mecca to perform Umrah. Quraysh shall massacre them. Not a single Muslim shall come back to Medina alive. And Allah will never protect them. So this was the false idea they were entertaining about Allah, that Allah will allow Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his companions to perish underneath the sword of Quraysh, and Allah shall leave his prophet in the lurch. So Allah said they have a disgraceful torment, da'iratu su'. Allah is angry with them for entertaining false ideas about Allah, and Allah has cursed them, and Allah has prepared for them Jahannam, an evil abode indeed. وَلِلَّهِ جُنُودُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَكَانَ اللَّهُ عَزِيزًا حَكِيمًا. And unto Allah belongs the armies of the skies and the armies that are on earth, the armies of the heavens and on earth, and Allah Ta'ala is the mighty, the wise. Why did Allah mention might and wisdom beside each other? Because anytime you have might but no wisdom, you shall use, misuse and abuse power. Like the Fir'aun, Nimrod, Hitler, Saddam Hussein and all the other tyrants that exist. Anytime you have might but no wisdom to direct that might, you shall use, misuse and abuse power. So whenever you read the Quran, you'll see that Allah Ta'ala always mention might and wisdom together, because it takes one quality to perfect the other quality. One quality without the other is the ultimate disaster. And you have witnessed this disaster time and time again at the hands of stupid tyrants. إِنَّا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ شَاهِدًا وَمُبَشِّرًا وَنَذِيرًا. Indeed, we have sent you, O Muhammad, shahidan, a witness. And Allah said in Baqarah 143, وَكَذَلِكَ جَعَلْنَاكُمْ أُمَّةً وَسَطًا لِتَكُنُوا شُهَدَاءَ عَلَى النَّاسِ وَيَكُونَ الرَّسُولُ عَلَيْكُمْ شَهِيدًا. Likewise, we have made you Muslims a balanced nation to be witnesses over mankind, while he, the messenger Muhammad, shall be a witness over you. So the Rasul is a shahid, a witness over you. وَمُبَشِّرًا, and a bringer of glad tidings to the believers. وَنَذِيرًا, and a warner to the kafirs, warn them about the hellfire. وَلَتُؤْمِنُوا بِاللَّهِ, in order for them to believe in Allah. وَرَسُولِهِ, and his messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. وَتُعَزِّرُوا وَتُوَقِّرُوا, and to help him and to give him honor, dignity and respect. وَتُصَبِّحُوا, and in order to send tasbih on Allah ta'ala. To say subhanallah, to praise Allah ta'ala constantly by night and by day. Bukratan wa asila, in the early part of the day and in the late part of the day. Inna ladina yubayunaka, inna ma yubayun Allah. Hear Allah fuq aydihim. Verily those who took the oath of allegiance to you, O Muhammad, underneath the tree, they took the oath of allegiance to Allah. And this ayah is exactly similar to Surah Nisa verse 80, where Allah said, Man yuti'ir rasul faqad ata'a Allah. Anyone of you who obeyed the Rasul, indeed, he has obeyed Allah. So here Allah Ta'ala is telling us in Surah 48 verse 10, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يُبَعُونَكَ إِنَّمَا يُبَعُونَ اللَّهِ. Those 1,400 sahabas who give you the oath of allegiance, O Muhammad, underneath the tree, they give the oath of allegiance to Allah. So obedience to the Rasul is obedience to Allah. Disobedience to the Rasul is actually disobedience to Allah. Yet Allah fawqa aydihim. Allah's hand was on top of their hand. How do you explain this ayah? Allah's hand was on top of their hand. How do you explain the ayah? Ibn Kathir has explained it. Was Allah's hand physically on top of their hand? Ibn Kathir said, when the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam stretched forward his hand, the hand of the Rasul was representing the hand of Allah, because obedience to the Rasul is obedience to Allah. Is that clear? This is how Ibn Kathir explains it. Then he relied upon Surah Nisa verse 80, where Allah said, anyone of you who obeys the Rasul, indeed he has obeyed Allah. So Ibn Kathir said, when the Rasul stretched his hand forward and put it on top of the hand of the Sahabas, the hand of the Rasul was representing the hand of Allah Ta'ala. This is the tafsir given to us by Ibn Kathir. By the way, this tafsir is coming from the book of Ibn Kathir, Tafsir Ibn Kathir. Does Allah have two hands? Yes, Allah Ta'ala has two hands, and no one knows the likeness except Allah Ta'ala. فَمَنْ نَكَثَ فَإِنَّمَا يَنْكُثُ عَلَى نَفْسِهِ. So anyone of you who break your pledge after this, indeed the destruction is on you. You break your own covenant again with Allah Ta'ala, it's the destruction shall be on you. وَمَنْ أَوْفَى بِمَا أَحَرَ عَلَيْهِ Allah فَسَيُؤْتِهِ أَجْرًا عَدِيمًا. And those of you who keep your covenant with Allah, indeed Allah Ta'ala shall soon give you a great reward. When the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam stretched his hand forward on top of the hands of the Sahabas, the Prophet put another hand on top of his hand. So the Prophet was like this. And the Prophet said, this hand is the hand of who? Uthman. So even though Uthman was in Mecca, and he, the Rasul, was in Hudaybiyah, the Rasul put one hand, which was his hand. Then the Rasul used the other hand and said, this is the hand of Uthman. So the Rasul testified that Uthman was what? A hypocrite or a believer? A believer. The Rasul is testifying behind the back of Uthman that he, Uthman, is a sincere believer. In other words, if Uthman was present, he would not hesitate to stretch his hand forward and take that oath of allegiance to him underneath the tree. The Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, those Sahabas, anyone who take that oath of allegiance to me underneath a tree, those who took that oath of allegiance, how many were they? 1,400. In some hadith, 1,500. The Prophet said, every single one of them shall be with me in paradise. Not one of them shall go to hellfire. Because for you to leave your home with small knives, just to cut the throat of animals, no army weapons, and then you put your hand forward and said, I will use my small knife to take on courage, to fight to the last drop of my blood. This means Iman, isn't it so? Firm Iman. This is what the Prophet said, those 1,400, in some hadith 1,500, all those who took the oath of allegiance to me underneath that tree, not a single one of them shall go to the hellfire. Everyone shall be with me in the paradise. These were sincere believers. Also, the 313 who fought at the Battle of Badr, all of them shall be in the paradise. And the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they had problems for water. They had problems for water. And the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam made wudu. And when the Rasul made wudu, water gushed from his fingers like a pipe, like a tap. This was a miracle of the Rasul's Rasul. Water gushed from the fingers, those holy fingers of the Rasul, like a pipe, like a tap, for 1,400 Sahabas to make wudu. This was a great miracle of the Rasul, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In another hadith, the Rasul went to a well, and the well was dried up, and the Rasul caused water to flow in the well. Another miracle of the Rasul sallam, and both miracles took place at the Treaty of Hudaybiyah. سيقول لك المخلفون من الأعراب. And the Rasul said, أنتم خير أهل الأرض اليوم. When they stretched their hands forward and took the oath of allegiance, the Prophet said, you are the best people on the face of the earth today. أنتم خير أهل الأرض اليوم. You are the best people on the face of the earth today. Now that tree which they stood on to take the oath of allegiance, what happened to it? It was chopped down. Who chopped it down? Omar. So you know your Islamic history. That tree that they stood under, or they squat under to give the oath of allegiance, Omar chopped it down when he became caliph. Do you know why? People used to go there. And they were trying to worship it. The people of Bid'ah. Maybe the person was a Bareilly. He lost the way to the cemetery. People used to go to the tree to idolize the tree. Umar had to chop it down. So shirk, if you're not careful, if you don't rule over the Muslims with an iron fist, they'll commit shirk. The Muslims will commit shirk if you don't rule over them with an iron fist. You go to Morocco, Saudi Arabia, Libya, everywhere you go, from the airport, you look up, King Fahd. Libya, Gaddafi. Isn't that so? In Turkey, Mustafa Kemal Atatürk. His picture is in the house of every Turk. A man who was a bastard. His mother was a Jew and his father was a Serb. And he destroyed... Nobody knows his father. He was a bastard child. He destroyed the Khilafah system and the Muslims worship him in Turkey. They idolize him. So Omar chopped it down to nip shirk in the bud. سيقول لك المخلفون من العرب شغلتنا أموالنا وأهلنا فاستغفر لنا. Those who stayed behind and did not go to Hudaybiyah with you from the Arab, the desert Arabs, they will say, we were busy with our money, our wealth, and our families. So seek forgiveness for us. يقولون بألسنتهم ما ليس في قلوبهم. They say with their tongues the opposite of what's in their hearts. In other words, they were taking the mickey, ridiculing. It's like a man sees you going to pray Juma. Hypocrite. Oh, I'm busy. I'm in the shop right now. I can't make... Pray for me when you go to the masjid. Okay? That's how they behave. So, the hypocrites who did not go at Hudaybiyah because they said, Muhammad will never return. He and his companions will be slaughtered. What there are, Allah said, when you go back to Medina, what will they say? We were busy with our wealth and our wives and children. So seek forgiveness for us. Allah said, they say with their tongues the opposite of what's in their heart. They weren't real what they say. They weren't real. They were ridiculing, taking the mickey. قُلْ فَمَنْ يَمْلِكْ لَكُمْ مِنَ اللَّهِ شَيْئًا إِنْ أَرَادَ بِكُمْ دَرًّا أو أراد بكم نفعا بل كان الله بما تعملون خبيرا. Say unto them, who can prevent you from harm if Allah wants to unleash against you harm? And who is it that can prevent you from good if Allah wants to give you good? بل كان الله بما تعملون خبيرا. But Allah was in full cognizance with all the things you used to do. And the Rasul said in a hadith Qudsi, related from Allah, لو أن الأمة لو اجتمعت على أن ينفعوك بشيء لم ينفعوك إلا بشيء قد كتبه الله لك وإن اجتمعوا على أن يدروك بشيء لم يدروك إلا بشيء قد كتبه الله عليك. If all the nations of the world should get together to benefit you with something, they can't benefit you with that thing unless it was written for Allah, written by Allah, for you to have that thing. And if all the people in the world shall get together to withhold something from you or to harm you, they can't harm you unless it was written by Allah for them to harm you. The pens have been lifted and the pages are dry. Everything is predestined. So you avoid in the battlefield claiming that you fear, wherever you may be, death shall overtake you. بَلْ ذَرَنْتُمْ أَنْ لَنْ يَنْقَلِبْ الرَّسُولُ وَالْمُؤْمِنُونَ إِلَىٰ أَهْلِهِمْ. Abada. They claim in their minds, in their notions, their suppositions and allegations, their expectations, the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam will never return to his family, he and his companions. وَزُيِّنَ ذَلِكَ فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ. And the shaitan has beautified their evil thoughts in their hearts. وَذَنَنْتُمْ ذَنَّسُوا وَكُنْتُمْ قَوْمًا بُورًا. And you entertain false ideas about Allah that will never help his messenger Muhammad and his companions. And you are people who are bura, worthless, good for nothing. The Arabic word bura means what? A worthless, good for nothing. وَمَنْ لَمْ يُؤْمِنْ بِاللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ فَإِنَّا أَعْتَدْنَا لِلْكَافِرِينَ سَعِيرًا. And those who do not firmly believe in Allah and his messenger, indeed we have prepared for them sa'ir, a place in the hellfire. وَلِلَّهِ مُلْكُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ يغفر لمن يشاء ويعذب من يشاء وكان الله غفور رحيما. And unto Allah belongs the sovereign of heavens and the earth. He forgives who he wants and he punishes who he wants. And Allah Ta'ala is oft returning most merciful. سيقول المخلفون إذا انطلقتم إلى مغانم لتأخذوها ذرونا نتبعكم يريدون أن يبدلوا كلام الله كلن تتبعونا كذلكم قال الله من قبل فسيقولون بل تحسروننا بل كانوا لا يفقهون إلا قليلا. And the hypocrites will say, who stayed behind and did not come to you at Hudaybiyah, come with you at Hudaybiyah? When you, the believers, march forward to reap your ghanima, your booty. And which booty is this? Which booty is this? They will say, let us come with you this time. Say unto them, no, you can't come with us to share this booty. Only the 1,400 Sahabas who were with me, Muhammad, can come to this war to fight and get the booty. They will say, you say that because you envy us. You don't want us to share with you in the booty. So hypocrites used to watch. If the Prophet was going to fight a strong army, they would find 1,000 excuses why they cannot go to fight. But if the Prophet was fighting a weak army and the army was rich, they would say, we want to fight. This time we will fight. Why they want to fight? They want booty. So hypocrites, what's their religion? A hypocrite, his religion is not Islam or Christianity or Judaism. What is his religion? Opportunism. This is his religion. Opportunism. So they say, we can't go to Hudaybiyah because we will not return alive. Quraysh will kill us. But when the Rasul was getting ready to fight another army, they said, this time we shall fight. And the Rasul said to them, no, you can't. Because Allah said, only the 1,400 who came with me at Hudaybiyah are allowed to participate in this battle. And then the hypocrite said, really, you speak like that because you envy us. You don't want us to share in the booty. And Allah said, what? You want, you reduna and you badilu kalam Allah. You, the hypocrites of Medina, you are seeking to change the commandment of Allah, kalam Allah. This is what you are doing. Now this booty is the rich Jews at Khaybar. The Prophet ﷺ, I told you, he signed 10 years treaty with Quraysh and then he shifted his army to where? Khaybar. Because he did not want to engage in two war fronts. Because you may win the war but lose the battle. Because war takes a heavy toll on lives and properties. So he did not want to kill off his Sahabas on two war fronts. So he quickly signed a peace treaty with Quraysh for 10 years and he quickly shifted his army to the Jews who were a bone in the throat of the Muslims to fight them. And the Jews, they were very rich. So they were going to get a lot of booty, a lot of dunya. So the hypocrite said, oh, Khaybar, okay, let's go. We'll join the bandwagon this time. Let's go and fight. But the Rasul said, you can't fight with us because Allah said what? Only those who were with me at Hudaybiyah. And the hypocrite said, Allah never revealed it. You only envy us. You don't want us to share in the booty. So hypocrites, their religion is opportunism. كُلَّنْ تَتَّبِعُونَا كَذَلِكُمْ قَالَ اللَّهُ مِنْ قَبْلُ. You will never follow us today. This is what Allah said before. فَسَيَقُولُونَ بَلْ تَسْرُونَ. They will say, you only envy us. بَلْ كَانُوا لَا يَفْقَهُونَ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. And Allah said, but these hypocrites, their understanding of the deal is, of this deen, is very, very little. Who can tell me the hadith of the Prophet about hypocrites in regards to knowledge? What did the Prophet say? Hypocrites will never have two things. Knowledge of the deen and what else? A beautiful character. Here Allah is confirming it that these hypocrites of Medina, their understanding of the deen is very, very little, very slight. When Allah said, verily we have given you the victory, inna fatahna laka fathan mubinan. What is the fat, the victory? What is the victory? Three opinions. The first opinion, the conquest of Mecca. Because Mecca was conquered after Quraysh broke the 10-year peace treaty with the Prophet. when Quraysh broke the treaty with the Prophet and killed some Muslims, the Rasul conquered Mecca. So some scholars say, what is the fact, the victory? The conquest of Mecca. Second opinion, Khaybar. Because when he signed the 10 years of treaty with the Kafirs of Quraysh, he shifted his army to Khaybar and defeated the Jews at Khaybar. So the victory is the conquest of Khaybar. And the third opinion, the treaty itself, the sulh itself, was the most accurate opinion. Huh? The treaty itself. The treaty itself. If the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not sign the treaty, and because of the treaty he was able to make some maneuvers, would he be able to have these victories one after the other? So the fact, the victory that Allah is talking about here in this surah is the treaty itself. Because from the treaty came many, many victories. We are not telling the other scholars that when you say the conquest of Mecca and the conquest at at Khaybar against the Jews is not a part of the victory. All these things are the victories. But the main victory is the treaty itself, because it is from this treaty that the Prophet was able to accomplish all the other victories. So this is the most accurate opinion, that the victory is the very treaty itself. قُلْ لِلْمُخَلَّفِينَ مِنَ الْأَعْرَابِ سَتُدْعَوْنَ إِلَىٰ قَوْمٍ أُولِي بَأْسٍ شَدِيدٍ. Say to the desert Arabs who stayed behind, the hypocrites, you will be called to wage jihad against a strong army, stronger than Quraysh. بَأْسٌ شَدِيدٌ تُقَاتِلُونَهُمْ أَوْ يُسْلِمُونَ فَإِنْ تُطِيعُوا يُؤْتِكُمُ اللَّهُ أَجْرًا حَسَنًا. You will fight them, or they may take their shahada, yuslimun. And if you obey Allah Ta'ala, He will give you a great reward. Now, which people are these? Who did the Prophet fight at the Battle of Hunayn? The tribe of who? Hawazin, as one opinion. The other opinion, Banu Thaqif, the other opinion, the Persians, the other opinion, the Romans, and the other opinion, the Turks. Now, which of these opinions? There's another opinion. The Battle of Yamama, fighting against Musaylimah, the false prophet. Which opinion is the most accurate, brothers? Hawazin against at the Battle of Hunayn, the Persians, the Romans, the Turks, Musaylimah. The majority of the scholars say Musaylimah. The majority of the scholars say Musaylimah, because Musaylimah's war was a vicious war in which 70 memorizers of the Quran perished. It was because of this war Abu Bakr decided to put the Quran in the form of a book. However, you can't dismiss the opinions of the other scholars. وَإِن تَتَوَلَّوْا كَمَا تَوَلَّيْتَ مِنْ قَبْلُ يُعَذِّبُكُمْ عَذَابًا أَلِيمًا. And if you refuse to fight this time against these people, Allah shall punish you with a severe punishment. لَيْسَ عَلَى الْأَعْمَى حَرَجٌ. Allah is telling you who are allowed to remain behind at home in their homes and didn't go to fight. Who are those who are excused from the battlefield? لَيْسَ عَلَى الْأَعْمَى حَرَجٌ, the blind. وَلَا عَلَى الْأَعْرَجِ حَرَجْ, and the lame. وَلَا عَلَى الْمَرِيدِ حَرَجْ, and those who are terminally ill. وَمَن يُطِعِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ يُدْخِلْهُ جَنَّاتٍ تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْهَارُ وَمَن يَتَوَلَّ يُعَذِّبْهُ عَذَابًا أَلِيمًا. And those who obey Allah and His Messenger, we shall enter them into gardens underneath which rivers flow. And those who stay behind and did not fight and did not fall into these three categories, terminally ill, the lame, and the blind, we shall punish them with a vicious punishment. Now today, the jihad is developed. Jihad can be with the push of a button. So a person who is in a wheelchair, can he do jihad? Can a wheelchair person do jihad? Yes, because he can press a button. And people in wheelchair, they are more intelligent than people who walk around. Did you know that? Because they don't have anything to do, they use their brains more. But if you walk around, you just walk around doing nothing and you're not thinking. Wasting time. So people in wheelchair, they are far more intelligent than people who have their 2 feet walking around. Because they are confined, they use their brain a lot. So Allah Ta'ala said, those who are lame, terminally ill and blind. But because jihad is so much computerized these days, maybe every Muslim can do jihad. Is that clear? Maybe every Muslim can do jihad, even those who are terminally ill. It all depends on their level of illness. لَكَدْ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِذْ يُبَيْئُنُكَ تَحْتَ الشَّجَرَةِ. Verily Allah was pleased with the believers when they took the oath of allegiance to you on the tree. فَعَلِمَ مَا فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ. And Allah Ta'ala knows very well what was in their heart. فَأَنزَلَ سَكِينَ عَلَيْهِمْ. And Allah has revealed unto them tranquility. Sakina, peace and tranquility. وَأَثَابَهُمْ فَتْحًا قَرِيبًا. And Allah shall reward them with a near victory. مَغَانِمَ كَثِيرًا يَأْخُذُونَهَا. They will be getting booty in multitude, in great number, in abundance. وَكَانَ اللَّهُ عَزِيزًا حَكِيمًا. And Allah Ta'ala is mighty wise. And as I said before, this booty is the conquest at Khaybar. The conquest at Khaybar, where the Jews will be rich, where they were very rich, and the Sahabas will defeat them and take their belongings. وَيَحْدِيكُمْ سِرَاطٍ. Allah Ta'ala said, وَعَدَكُمُ اللَّهُ مَغَانِمَ كَثِيرًا تَأْخُذُونَهَا فَعَجَّلَ لَكُمْ هَذِهِ. And Allah Ta'ala has promised you a lot of booties which you will receive, and Allah has hastened this booty unto you, and this booty is Khaybar. So there are many other booties after Khaybar which the companions of the Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam shall accomplish. وَقَفَ أَيْدِيَ النَّاسِ أَنْكُمْ وَلِتَكُونَ آيَةً لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَيَحْدِيَكُمْ صِرَاطًا مُسْتَقِيمًا. And Allah Ta'ala has prevented the kafirs from striking you with their hands, in order that you will be an example for the believers. وَقَفَ أَيْدِيَ النَّاسِ أَنْكُمْ. Allah has prevented the kafirs from striking you with their hands, the kafir hands. And in order to make an example out of you, the Muslims, for all the other believers to come. Meaning you were patient. وَأُخْرَى لَمْ تَقْدِرُوا عَلَيْهَا قَدْ أَحَاطَ اللَّهُ بِهَا. And other signs which you do not know, only Allah Ta'ala has knowledge of it. وَكَانَ اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ كُلِ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرًا. And Allah Ta'ala has full knowledge of everything. لَوْ قَاتَلَكُمْ الَّذِينَ كَفْرُوا لَوَلَّوْا الْأَدْبَارُ ثُمَّ لَا يَجْرُونَ وَلِيًّا وَلَا نَصِيرًا. If you, the Muslims, had fought the kafirs that day at Hudaybiyah, you, the Muslims, would have defeated the kafirs. So Allah said, even though you left your homes with small knives, and they had bows and arrows and horses, they were a strong army, you with your small knives, if you had taken them on, you, the Muslims, would have defeated them. This is what Allah is telling the believers. I prevented you from fighting them, not because you would lose, you would win. So we'll see why Allah prevented them. Allah said, سُنَّةُ اللَّهِ أَلَّتِي كَدْ خَلَتْ مِنْ قَبْلُ وَلَنْ تَجْرَ لِسُنَّةِ اللَّهِ تَبْدِيلًا. This is Allah's sunnah that came before, many times before. And you will never find any change in the sunnah of Allah. So Allah's sunnah is to use a small multitude sunnah, to use a small group of believers to conquer a large multitude of kafirs. وَهُوَ الَّذِي كَفَى أَيْدِيَهُمْ عَنْكُمْ وَأَيْدِيَكُمْ عَنْهُمْ بِبَطْنِ مَكَّةِ مِنْ بَعْدِ أَنْ أَظْفَرَكُمْ عَلَيْهِمْ وَكَانَ اللَّهُ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ بَصِيرًا. And it is He, Allah, who has prevented them from striking you with their hands. And He, Allah, has prevented you, the Muslims, from striking them with your hands at Mecca, in the valley of Mecca, after you were victorious over them. And Allah Ta'ala has full knowledge of all that you do. هُمَ الَّذِينَ كَفْرُوا وَصَدُّوا عَنِ الْمَسْجِدِ الْحَرَامِ. They, the kafirs, they are the ones who reject faith and prevented you from entering into Masjid al-Haram at Mecca. وَالْحَدْيُ مَعْقُوفًا أَنْ يَبْلُغْ مَحِلَّ And they prevented you from slaughtering your animals at the right place. You had to slaughter your animals at Hudaybiyah, which is not meant to be. So they prevented you from making your umrah, and they caused you to slaughter your animals at a place which is not the right place. وَلَوْلَا رِجَالُ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ وَنِسَاءُ الْمُؤْمِنَاتِ لَمْ تَعْلَمُوهُمْ أَنْ تَتَأُوهُمْ فَتُصِيبَكُمْ مِنْهُمْ مَعَرَّ بِغَرِ عِلْمٍ لِيُدْخِلَ اللَّهُ فِي رَحْمَتِهِ مَنْ يَشَاءُ Allah Ta'ala said, had it not been for believing men and women who are among Quraysh, I've told you that Allah said if the believers had fought them, they would have defeated them. Even though the Muslims had small knives and they had bow and arrows, they, with their small knives, the believers would have finished Quraysh. They were no match for the Muslims. So if that was the case, why didn't Allah allow them to take on Quraysh? Allah is now giving you the answer. Allah said some people in Mecca took their shahada and they were practicing tukiyah. Muslims living with them and they were practicing tukiyah. So Allah said if you had fought them, you would have killed your Muslim brothers without realizing it. And after you found out that you killed your brother Muslims who were practicing tukiyah, you could not live with the guilt. Now if you kill a Muslim, you thought he was a kafir and you kill him, and then you discover he's a Muslim, could you live with that guilt? You couldn't live with that guilt. So Allah said, you couldn't live with the guilt and you have to pay blood money. Ma'arra. You would have to pay blood money. And you could not live with the guilt. And Allah said, while you did not fight Quraysh, because of that good example you set of being patient, Allah said, I caused thousands of people around the Arabian Peninsula to embrace Islam. So when the Rasul went back to conquer Mecca, how many went with him? I can't hear you. Huh? No, not 400. How many went back? When he went to Hudaybiyah, it was 1,400. When he went back to conquer Mecca, how many went with him? 10,000. So Allah said, by you exercising patience and refuse to fight Quraysh, I caused thousands of people to enter inside the fold of Islam. Allah said, لِيُدْخِلَ اللَّهُ فِي رَحْمَتِهِ مَنْ يَشَاءُ I caused you to exercise patience, to prove to them that you're not bloodthirsty. It's Quraysh who is bloodthirsty. They are the ones who are preventing you from making umrah, your umrah. You are a peace-loving people, and they are the ones who love war. By you exercising patience, I cause to enter into my deen, my rahmah, who I want. لَوْ تَزَيَّلُوا لَعَذَبْنَا الَّذِينَ كَفْرُوا مِنْهُمْ عَذَابًا أَلِيمًا And if I had separated you, the believers, from them, I would have punished them single-handedly by myself. إِذْ جَعَلَ الَّذِينَ كَفْرُوا فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ حَمِّيَّ حَمِّيَّةَ الْجَاهِلِيَّةِ Allah said, and call to mind that those who reject faith, they had hamiyya, they were zeal, zealous. They had zeal and enthusiasm to implement their kufr. What is Allah talking about here? Allah said, those who reject faith, they were filled with zeal and enthusiasm at the Treaty of Hudaybiyah. Why? Because they said, scratch out Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, scratch out Rahman ar-Rahim. They imposed their kufr on the Muslims. Then they said, scratch out Rasulullah, we don't accept you as any messenger of Allah. And the Rasul had to scratch it out. So Allah said that the kafirs, they are filled with zeal and enthusiasm to implement their kufr on you, the believer. So kafirs, listen carefully. Kafirs don't believe in lakum dinukum wal yadin. You to your way, me to my way. Kafirs don't believe in that. Kafirs want you to accept their way. They are dictators. And they are filled with zeal and enthusiasm to implement their kufr. This is why the Hindus have a state, Hindustan. And the Buddhists have a state, Burma. And the gay men have a state, San Francisco. And the prostitutes have a state. Where is that? Amsterdam, Holland. Why they all have states? And the Jews have a state, Israel. Why? Because kafirs are filled with zeal and enthusiasm to fulfill and to implement their kufr. So they don't believe in lakum dinukum wal yadin, you to your way, me to my way. This is why Allah abrogated lakum dinukum wal yadin. What did Allah use to abrogate it? Surah Anfal, verse 39. وَقَاتِلُوهُمْ حَتَّى لَا تَكُنْ فِتْنَةٌ وَيَكُونَ الدِّينُ كُلُّهُ لِلَّهِ. Fight them until there is no more fitna. Fitna means shirk. Until Allah alone is worshipped on the face of the earth. حَتَّى يَكُونَ الدِّينُ كُلُّهُ لِلَّهِ. So Allah said the Kafirs are filled with hamiyah, zeal and enthusiasm. Jahiliyyah, zeal and enthusiasm. فَأَنزَلَ اللَّهُ سَكِينَتَهُ عَلَى رَسُولِهِ وَعَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. And Allah has sent down sakina, peace and tranquility on the Rasul and the believers. So even though they saw their deen being trampled over, they exercised patience. Why? Allah said, because I sent down sakina, peace and tranquility in your heart. Because any Muslim would get upset to see the Rasul title being scratched out. You love the Rasul too much to swallow this. You can't buy that. But why the Sahabas were able to handle it at Hudaybiyah? Because Allah said, I sent down tranquility in your hearts. Had I not done that, you couldn't have handled seeing your deen being trampled over by a bunch of filthy kafirs who are pagans, fuel for the hellfire. وَأَلْزَمَهُمْ كَلِمَةُ التَّقْوَى. And I cause you to stick to the kalima of taqwa, the words of taqwa. And these words are what? La ilaha illallah. La ilaha illa. وَكَانُوا أَحَقْ بِهَا وَأَهْلَهَا. وَكَانَ اللَّهُ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ عَلِيمًا. And you are more deserving of this world. And you are more deserving of entering into Mecca. And Allah Ta'ala is in full cognizance with all that you do. لَقَدْ صَرَقَ اللَّهُ رَسُولَهُ الرُّؤْيَا. Indeed, Allah Ta'ala has caused the dream of His Messenger to come to pass. Because when they return to Mecca, to Medina, without making Umrah, Omar and Abu Bakr turned to him and said, didn't you see yourself in a dream, we making Umrah? The Prophet said, yes. So why are we going back to Medina then? The Prophet said, I saw myself in a dream making Umrah. I didn't tell you this year. Did I tell you this year? They said, no. So okay, next year. Is that clear? So they could not handle going back to Medina. So when they were worried, Allah revealed, لَقَدْ صَدَقَ اللَّهُ رَسُولَهُ الرُّؤْيَا. Indeed, Allah Ta'ala shall cause the dream of His Messenger to come to pass. لَتَدْخُلُنَّ الْمَسْجِدَ الْحَرَامِ إِنْشَاءَ اللَّهُ آمِنِينَ. You shall enter into Masjid al-Haram, إِنْشَاءَ اللَّهُ آمِنِينَ, with safety. مُحَلِّقِينَ رُؤُوسَكُمْ, shaving your heads. وَمَقَصِّرِينَ, others clipping their heads. لَتَخَافُونَ, with absolute no fear in your hearts. فَعَلِمَ مَا لَمْ تَعْلَمُوا فَجَعَلَ مِن دُونِ ذَلِكَ فَتْحًا قَرِيبًا. And Allah Ta'ala knows other things which you do not know, and Allah Ta'ala has given you a soon victory. Allah said, you shall enter into Masjid al-Haram, insha'Allah. So this is telling you that you can say insha'Allah even though you are sure about something. Is that clear? Don't be like Zamakhshari. What did Zamakhshari say? He's a great scholar, Mu'tazilite scholar. Zamakhshari, what did he say? He said this ayah, Surah Fat, verse 27, when Allah said, when this surah said, insha'Allah, Allah didn't say, insha'Allah. Jibreel slipped it in. Zamakhshari. Mu'tazilite. He said, who? Jibreel slipped in the words, insha'Allah. So because of that, some scholars made takfir and Zamakhshari. Because he claims that there are words in the Quran that Jibreel slipped in. Allah didn't say it. Jibreel decided to slip it in. This is what happens when you worship your akal, your intellect. You give dodgy tafsir. Would you like me to bring Zamakhshari tafsir and give it to you here? You don't want it? Zamakhshari tafsir is the best tafsir. From what angle? Huh? From grammar. Zamakhshari's tafsir, this man who they have just made takfir on, his tafsir is the best tafsir, but from what angle? From the language, from grammar. From the grammar, not from Aqidah, just from the grammar. He can tell you the verbs and the pronouns and the adjectives and so on and so forth, but he cannot tell you anything else. هو الذي أرسل رسوله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله وكفى بالله شهيدا. He, Allah, has sent His Messenger with the Huda, the guidance, and the religion of truth to be victorious over every other religions. And it is sufficient for Allah to be witness over this victory. Muhammad Rasulullah. Muhammad is a messenger of Allah. وَلَدِينَ مَعُوا أَشِدَّاءَ الْكُفَّارِ. And those who are with him, they are harsh with the kafirs. رُحَمَا بَيْنَهُمْ. Soft with each other. تَرَاهُمْ رُقَّ أَنْ سُجَدًا يَبْتَغُنَ فَضْلًا مِنَ اللَّهِ وَرِدْوَانَ. You shall find them making sajda. Raqa and sajda. Bowing and prostrating. Seeking Allah's merits and his pleasure. See ma'hum fi wujuhim. You will see their signs in their forehead. Min athar sujood, because of their prostration. Their sign, Allah said, will be in their forehead because of their many prostrations. Dhalika mathaluhum fi at-Tawrat wa mathaluhum fi al-Injil. And these descriptions of the Sahabas were given in the Torah as well as the Injil. Allah said the companions of Muhammad were made mention of in the Torah and the Injil. And when Musa heard about the companions of the Prophet, he made a dua and said, "Oh Allah, let me join the followers of Muhammad." And Allah didn't answer the dua of Musa. When Jesus heard about the Muslims, Jesus made a dua, "Oh Allah, let me join the followers of Muhammad. I want to catch up with them. I want to meet them." And Allah answered the dua of Jesus. So Jesus shall return in the white minaret of Damascus, between the shoulders of two angels, to join the Muslims. And when the Iqamah is called, they will say to Jesus, "Lead the Salah." And Jesus said, "No, the Iqamah wasn't called for me." So he will pray with the Muslims in the same line behind a Muslim imam. And I've been through this in details on the topic signs before the Day of Judgment. Kazari akhraja shat'ahu. I'll see the exact translation for this. I want to give my own translation if I see a word I'm not certain about. Muhammad Rasulullah, Muhammad is the messenger of Allah. And those who are with him are severe against the disbelievers, merciful amongst themselves. You see them bowing and praying. I want to give my own translation if I see a word I'm not certain about. Muhammad Rasulullah, Muhammad is the messenger of Allah. And those who are with him are severe against the disbelievers, merciful amongst themselves. You see them bowing and praying.